Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello, friends. We're back again. Welcome to Fightful. It's May the 8th, 2025, Thursday night. And boy, oh boy, your TNA Impact post show is live. Plenty to talk about, plenty to enjoy, plenty to discuss, plenty to go over. You know who I am. You know who she is. But if you don't, she is the wonderful, the fantastic, the knows better than to do a collision post show on a busy TNA night. Cresta Starr is here. Hello, Cresta Starr. How are you doing?
I am, what I was saying offline, I'm sports disgusted. That main event of TNA, while objectively beautiful, subjectively, I don't want to see that. Get that off my screen. Get that off my screen. Y'all did y'all big one, but also, how are you, Joel?
I'm wonderful. Hey, by the way, happy belated birthday. I don't know how I didn't miss it. I didn't do the socials thing. I think I was just offline for that day. So I just want to say happy birthday to the wonderful co-host of mine. I hope it was a fun one. It looked like you had a good time.
Thank you so much, Joel. I appreciate you guys. I'm 21 for the 90th time. if I'm ever going to give someone a free promotion, it'll be this thing. For my birthday, I saw this thing called Tasselmania. It's wrestling, burlesque, drag. It is so much fun. I don't know if they'll ever see this, but if you can go at some point, if they're in your city or if you're in New York, I encourage you guys to go to Tasselmania. It's all the promos. That's all I can say. It's fantastic. That's the free promo. Everyone gets one once a year.
I like it. Go check them out. If Cresta had a good time, then you know it's a good time for you. If you're visiting New York and you want to go find them out, drop her a line or just go look up Tasselmania. There you go. That's what you should do. And while you're at it, you should also check out Fightful Select, the best $5.99 in the business, because we have plenty of news coming, whether it's contract news or interview notes or any early access to interviews that you want. They're up there. FightfulSelect.com. You can get it all, and you get it right. You don't just get the aggregation. You don't just get the maybe. No, you get it right. You get the words that you're supposed to read, not the editorialization. You don't get the other side of trying not to plagiarize. You get the real stuff, and you support this team because this team works super hard and deserves your support if you're able to do it. If you're doing it for free and maybe you just don't have it, or maybe you're already subscribed to Fightful Select, go ahead, drop a thumbs up on the video. You do that right now, it supports us huge. And of course, being in the chat, hanging out with us tonight is always great. You can drop a comment after the fact if you're watching a little later on. You can say, hey, Crest is fantastic. Or, hey, Joel, you said Moose was a champion in TNA for 2 years and you were wrong about that. I was wrong about that. I think I was speaking more metaphorically during our Rebellion post show a few weeks back about Moose's lengthy TNA world title reign. But either way, you can always correct us. Just be nice about it. And also, and also, if you want to help us out now and you want to get into it now and drive the conversation now, you can donate a super chat. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. And of course, you can go to humperchats.com to do the same thing. But Cresta will tell you why you should do it too.
You know why you should do it on humperchats.com? You should do it on humperchats.com. Yes, humperchats.com, because we get to keep a little bit more of the donation. But here's the important part. Tonight, we are running concurrently with the AEW Collision Post Show. So should you use the Humper Chats, I need you to put TNA before, so Joel knows to read them, so we don't read about Willow Nightingale, which I'm sure that match was fantastic. But I'm here to talk about TNA because it's my right as an American or whatever. Humperchats.com. I'm not patriotic. I swear. Unless you like that, go to humperchats.com. Tell me what you like. As long as you go to humperchats.com.
If you do drop a Humper Chat because the Collision Post Show is going on simultaneously, just drop TNA so that they know and we know that it's happening. I don't even know if Rick and Iridian know that we're doing. Well, I guess they do because you're here.
Oh, yeah. We already had the discussion. They were like, well, Cressy, you're doing this. I was like, listen, I love AEW, but it has been my experience that every time I skip TNA for AEW, I get a pie in the face from AEW. So I'm here. I'm the TNA faithful. We are the night.
That was before we rebranded.
I don't know the new song now. I'm a fraud.
Everybody's doing the same thing. I be doing my thing.
Oh, yeah. I be doing the same. Yo, listen. The Rock isn't the only bald fraud in wrestling. Boom.
Are you trying to say that? That's not, oh my God.
Honestly, this is a work. This whole head, after the show, I take my head off like in
Futurama and you put him into the.
Yes, yes. And then tomorrow I'll go be Lizzo or something.
I thought you were going to say Nixon and that was going to get real weird.
Oh, that's super weird. I would cause chaos. This would be me.
Fair. Yes. So listen, normally right at the top, we give kind of a thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Your overall thoughts on Impact tonight as we get closer to Under Siege, which is going to be in Toronto. Brampton, they keep having to tell you it's the greater Toronto area, and they're right to do it. But like even the other companies, WWE, AEW, they'll fudge it a little bit just to be next to the closest town. Listen, I get it. TNA, you want to be accurate. You want to be journalistic in your own way. Or maybe you just are really happy to be in Brampton. But regardless, don't know why. Regardless, we're getting closer to Under Siege. What do you think of tonight's show as we get 2 weeks closer to Under Siege?
As a whole, tonight, I give it 50-50. The parts that were good were really good. And the parts that I personally was not sports entertained by, all I kept seeing was, who is this for? Who is this for? So that's just me and my opinion, and everyone's entitled to that. So I'm normally sports entertained. And like I said, the parts that I was sports entertained by, like Lucha's winning on TNA, oh, I was here for it. But other parts, I was not, so.
Well, in true 50-50 fashion, yes, the Luchadors did win, but then they got their ass beat. So
did they win?
Did they really win? They didn't walk out. They didn't walk out victorious. So I agree. It was a 50-50 night. There was some great stuff. There was some not so great stuff. And there was some stuff in the middle. Under Siege, to me right now, is not looking like a blockbuster show. I get it. It's a plus show. It's not necessarily a huge event that they're putting on. But at the same time, like they have to fill a venue. And personally, I would have much preferred to have had this dog collar match as a main spectacle attraction for this show, especially when your world champion is working a tag match and then your world champion isn't even defending the world championship in Toronto. Instead, you're having him go to Florida 2 days later to defend the title at NXT Battleground against Trick Williams. I understand that they're trying to kind of cross-pollinate and make it a story over the weekend, but I'm a little annoyed personally, as a TNA cover guy. Uh-huh. I'm a little annoyed at the fact that this dog collar match, as fun as it was for me, and I know we're going to talk about it in full as we get down to the show, but I would have thought that that match could have been a standout championship match on a card that is otherwise not really hitting right now.
But I guess to that answer, how long do you keep dragging out this Eric Young, Steve Maclin thing? Because I think an important beat was hit tonight on his promo. He was like, that for months you preached brotherhood. And for all intents and purposes, you roofied me before I gave you a yes or no. But considering I told you no three times, you were just being a jerk. So you were never going to take no for an answer. I get at some point that runs the risk of overstaying its welcome. And I think we could have stretched. I agree with you. I think we could have stretched it out to that point. But I just wonder if they thought, like, what is the risk you run of trying to drag something out where it's like, well, you roofied me. Yeah. 3 weeks ago. What you going to do about it? You haven't done anything about it yet. Yeah.
We over on the post-show side of things, the WWE side, people are talking about, you know, we came out of WrestleMania and the TLC match that main evented that SmackDown after WrestleMania. Everyone watched it, said it should have been on the main WrestleMania card. Should have been this, it should have been that. But at the same time, there is merit to the idea that your main event on a show like SmackDown after WrestleMania, you still have to pop the rating, but you're also a showcase match. You're a standout match. So you're in some cases more important, even though you're not on the main big stage of a WrestleMania. Instead, you're in a featured television production. That's kind of what this dog collar match felt like. But I then go back to, again, the Under Siege card is not looking like a blockbuster card full of matches of must-sees. Your knockouts, you know what, we'll get into it. But as we kind of cross over what's going on, I can tell you, like I said this on In the Weeds last week, and someone was kind of giving me guff about my feelings towards TNA lately. And I said, why is Cody Deaner in 2025 having a showcase match against Edward Edwards? Like, I understand, again, this is not a knock at Cody Deaner. This is not a knock at Eddie Edwards. As performers, they're great. We sung the praises of Eddie Edwards multiple times. We know what Cody Deaner is capable of. This character hasn't really hit. I understand that Cody is from Ontario. He is from north of my neck of the woods of Toronto. He's been around a long time. So it's a bit of a respect thing. At the same time, don't really know what they expect to get out of this match.
I mean, it'd be a way to have somebody get over. But I'm like, who's getting over in that case? Moose? I could see you trying to put on this baby face uphill, like build him up. So when someone debuts or something like that and they're debuting as a heel or you have a gimmick change, you could say, hey, this person takes out Cody Deaner, our beloved town hero, the people's hero. I could see it from that angle. But again, who benefits then? Is it a TNA unknown? And again, does that boil down to does Moose benefit? Does Moose really need to benefit off of Cody Deaner? Or Eddie Edwards. Like, I get what you're saying, because even like, much respect to Eddie Edwards, but I agree with the sentiment on the other side of the coin. Why, like, Eddie Edwards main eventing your scene, and you've got people like, you know, Leon Slater. You've got other, just saying, you got young blood. I'm just saying there's young blood that you could be using.
Yeah, and we'll get into who could or couldn't be on the card, but let's open up Impact. Trick Williams comes out. Like I mentioned, Trick versus Joe Hendry is happening at NXT Battleground 2 nights after TNA Under Siege in Toronto. I have my feelings about that. Again, maybe part of it is just that I'm planning to be at Under Siege because it's in my neck of the woods and because I've basically been coerced into going. Not from anyone in TNA and not from the site, literally from friends of mine. I ran into friends over WrestleMania weekend, and they were like, of all places, right? I'm in Las Vegas, and these friends from Toronto are there watching the Dragon Gate show at the Palms, and they see me. You're all right there?
Me? No, my chair is broken, so I'm trying to, like, sit back. I'm trying to get comfortable while we talk about wrestling. Listen, I love wrestling. This is my favorite thing to do, so I like to be comfortable as well. Tee-hee.
I run into these friends, and they're like, are you going to Under Siege? And I'm like, I don't know. It depends on the card. And they're like, oh, I'll give you a ride. You'll go. And I'm like, all right, if I'm going to get a ride, I'm going to go. So I've been coerced by friends, literally not by work, to be attending this show. And there are parts of me that are like, sure, I'll go. But other parts of me are just like, well, I don't know about this card. So Trick says he wants to be respected. And meanwhile, he says Joe Hendry wants to be liked. And then he says, I'll take Hendry's fans. I'll take his brand. Let's talk about it. And then Joe Hendry comes out. And I have to be honest with you, Cresta. This feels like the first feud where Joe Hendry looks like he's trying, where he's angry, where he's motivated. And I think that's telling, because every TNA person he's faced for the World TNA Championship, we've talked about how that felt. Now he's going up against an NXT guy, and suddenly he gives a shit. Well, they fight. Security gets involved. They break it up. What were your thoughts when you saw this Trick Williams, who's very much a heel in TNA, and Joe Hendry being the savior of TNA, the representative of TNA, suddenly into this whole thing?
Let me tell you that this is one of the things that I liked, and you hit the nail on the head. We have complained about Joe Hendry not feeling a little bit vicious enough, and that's part of the reason why people take him as goofy. Personally speaking, I love the guitar gimmick. Sing songs about people I don't like, because the worst thing in the world, to quote, I forgot what comedian said this, nobody wants to get their ass beat to a soundtrack. So imagine this guy is making fun of you and he has a song about you getting beat up and you're losing to him. To me, that's fantastic. You can't beat that. However, I can understand the criticism of, okay, but what are you going to do against a Brock Lesnar or a Hammerstone or someone who's like, your guitar is funny, but I'm going to make you eat that guitar. I'm literally going to shove it down your throat. So I like this, that Trick, if it's a chemistry that they have, Trick Williams and him, I feud forever. I love this. I will say, yeah, you're going to get fined there, pal. You can't put your hands on officials and security, Joe Hendry. I live, but also keep your hands to yourself.
Yep. So we'll see how that goes. They have the chemistry from a performance standpoint. We'll see how the match looks between Trick and Joe Hendry. They're going to have the tag team match at Under Siege. They have the TNA title match, which there was a small part of me that thinks if they put this on last at Battleground, you're going to have a new TNA world champion at an NXT show. But I think it's more likely that the Jordynne Grace and Stephanie Vaquera match will be the main event on NXT Battleground.
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
Because I had this debate tonight. Do you think TNA puts the belt on someone like Trick Williams to get it off of Joe to put it on Santana?
So this is fun. Because Jeremy Lambert and I, over on In the Weeds, Fightful Overbooked, 5 days a week, 10 a.m. Eastern, cheap plug, we talked about this, I believe, on the Wednesday show. So yesterday, actually. And we came to two conclusions that were both viable, which is, yes, he could win, and no, he could win. Or no, he could lose. This, you also have to look at the TV taping schedule, okay? Mm-hmm. Under Siege is on the Friday, the 23rd. They're then taping TV for 2 weeks on the Saturday, and Battleground is on the Sunday. So you have to find a way not to give away the results between Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, basically between Saturday, Sunday. And one advantage that they have is that they're doing the thing that we hate, which is they're doing 2 weeks in between plus events, because Against All Odds is on June the 6th, which is 2 weeks after Under Siege. So they're doing that thing where they tape the next night, and then that takes them to the next show, which is in Tempe. So you could get away with 2 weeks having no TNA world champion in front of a crowd because you're only doing one set of tapings. But I don't know if it works to have Trick win the title and have someone like Santana win. I guess there's a reason to do it if Trick can get over as a bad guy. This is also the other problem. Over on NXT, Trick is not a bad guy. You still got Booker T, you know, singing his theme, and you still got the crowd in Orlando singing Trick's praises, regardless of what he says. Trick has some heavy lifting to do if he wants to be heel. To do it in TNA, which he can't do because of everything I just mentioned about TV taping schedules, it wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. So they would have to find a way to get the heat on him from only backstage segments and never putting him over those 2 weeks in front of a crowd for at least for the beginning of his title reign. And then against all odds, he's got to really crank up the heat and be a bad guy and find a way to both be a bad guy in TNA and in NXT. It's tough.
I say that I agree with you 100%, especially for WWE wrestlers. If the crowd has decided they like you, Becky Lynch is a firm, good example. I don't care. I'm cheering you. You can call me a stupid idiot that eats poop. And you know what we're going to do? We deserve it. Clap, clap. It is what it is. And I don't know. I'm not familiar with Trick's game like that to say he's good or bad or he's reached that level. But I can understand what you're saying, because I could see the idea of, well, everyone likes Joe Hendry. Why would you, Trick Williams, want to beat up Mr. Joe Hendry? Clap, clap. Why would you want that? But I could also see it. Could see NXT fans like, fuck that guy. Trick Williams is our guy. Hey, he's like, you are to the other guys. And I'm also thinking too, like, wasn't Kenny Omega TNA champion for a minute? I feel like that happened over the pandemic.
It did. And it was, he beat Rich Swann for the title. And then it became a whole thing with Christian Cage, and Christian won the title. And that was, it was weird. Because that was the AEW TNA stuff. And AEW was trying to be the heel program on TNA, because you had Tony Khan doing the stand-up segments that people made fun of him for, but he was playing a character, and like I thought it was, I had my feelings towards it. I didn't really love, you know, Tony trying to be bad guy. It was Mr. McMahon-esque, you know, and I know we don't talk about Vince, we don't talk about Mr. McMahon, but it was kind of that character where wrestling promoter owner tries to be the bad guy because he's the big bad boss from the bigger company trying to heel on TNA. And then you also had Kenny, you know, wins the AEW world title and Don Callis is there and they say you're going to find out on Impact why he, you know, turned heel and won the world title. This was back when it all started at Winter Is Coming in 2020. So like their stories are different. WWE hasn't been the heel company to TNA. They've been a feeder company. This would be the first time where they're trying to make WWE the bad guys to TNA and TNA the bad guys to WWE. And that doesn't really work. Someone in the chat mentioning, you know, Trick turned a while back. He's been acting like a jerk, but he's still over. He's being cool heel. And that doesn't always work with a traditional wrestling style crowd. Or at least you have to know what that cool heel is supposed to be. So with Trick, he's just in this position where, yeah, he is cool. He's also always had this problem where when he's on the chase, he's great. But when he wins the title, they don't do shit with him. And that's a concern that I have with him winning the TNA title, because this time he's chasing a title, but he's doing it nonchalantly because he's a bad guy. Normally when he's a babyface, him on the chase always gets over. And that's what's gotten him over and kept him over. Then he wins the title, has the huge moment. And then afterwards, he gets booked poorly as a champion. Mm-hmm. Nothing feels real. And I feel like if they give him if he wins the TNA title, they're going to run into a similar problem where they'll be more apathetic towards his title win. Whereas Joe Hendry is their guy in TNA. I can feel how I feel about Joe Hendry's presentation as world champion and what I've seen, but I cannot deny that the crowds are huge Joe Hendry fans. And if you take the title off of him, well, then Joe's the only person who can win it back, because that story does not just end there. So I don't think the Trick wins. For that reason alone, I don't think the Trick wins, especially because I don't know, man, because I'm so stuck on the Santana thing, maybe I just can't see it, but Santana winning in New York is just, it's too easy to pass up.
I say that also too, because it was a moment tonight where Santana is passing Trick in the hallway and they're looking at each other. And I'm like, okay, I could see it. Like I said, I could see it where you're like, well, everyone hates, not saying this right, but everyone would hate the guy who pins Joe Hendry. I'll also say to your point as well, I think that's an epidemic throughout wrestling right now. There's too many too cool bad guys where you just don't want to boo them. I'm so sorry. And I blame Kevin Owens in particular, because you telling the truth. And that...
They do the heat check, like you mentioned, with Trick and Santana. Santana wants to do the crossover stuff. Almost everyone in TNA is into it. I would rather like to see, if Santana is going to do it, that he goes full bore on it. And what I really mean by that is maybe it is Santana and Trick. Maybe Trick wins at NXT Battleground, and maybe they do the rematch at Against All Odds in Tempe. And then Joe loses at Against All Odds. And then we get to Santana and Trick at Slammiversary. You build it for a month. You've got at least, again, going back to the tapings, you do the Tempe show on the Friday. You're doing TV tapings on the Saturday. That's 2 weeks. And then they're going to Pittsburgh in the middle of June. That's going to cover the rest of the time going up to Slammiversary. So you can, with a long enough runway, get to Santana and Trick through those three nights of tapings that cover 6 weeks. It's doable. You have Joe go down, Joe loses. Maybe it's Elijah costs him the match, because they are tag teaming at Under Siege. So everyone's waiting on the Elijah turn. It's inevitable. You can't not do it. It's got to happen. So that's kind of where we're at there. So I can see Trick winning a little bit more if it's going to be Santana and Trick at Slammiversary. But again, Trick's got to be the bad, 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 bad guy.
Which kind of sucks, in my opinion, because it's like, I feel with all this discourse about where we could go from here, as a huge Joe Hendry stan, it makes me feel like we're looking past him or his reign is done. But I would be remiss if I didn't say that it's painfully obvious you are WWE bound, and it's kind of painfully obvious TNA is treating you that way.
Joe has been nothing but positive about his world title reign. I have felt a certain way. Others have felt a certain way. Some people have loved it. Some people have panned it. It's been a big, big mixed bag, because I think that whatever Joe's been trying to accomplish hasn't always felt like it's landed.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that for sure. If there's tangible, you know, proof that what Joe Hendry has accomplished as TNA world champion has been in service of TNA as a brand and not in service of Joe Hendry trying to get a WWE contract, because he's very much on the radar, went to WrestleMania, had the match, and did the whole nine yards. To me, that feels like it's more in service of the wrestler. Could it be both? Absolutely, it could be both. But to me, I always have like the skew of the wrestler trying to get themselves to the next level. And the title is one thing. But if he's going as a representative of TNA and he's being seen as worth putting these opportunities in because they also have the promotion with the company, then who am I to judge?
That's very fair. That's a very beauty pageant answer. I want to be like you when I grow up.
I talked to Joe about this. There's a time for the concerts and there's a time for Sirius and all the other things that he told me about his title reign. Again, we'll see how this whole thing plays out. But like I said, this is the first time that Joe Hendry has looked like he gives a shit about a feud. And I mean that from a presentational standpoint. I don't mean that from like Joe Hendry just clocking into work and just going to work. No, this time it looks like it's a serious storyline title defense, whereas everyone else has felt like a little bit of a joke.
Yeah, I will say that it's not Sami Callihan levels of violent and vitriol, but it's warming up to be right where Moose, Randy Orton burning down a house. We're right before that. That's where it needs to be.
Yeah, I get it. So let's move along. We got a couple super chats. Just Ricardo saying Collider's missed the birthday girl. And hi, Joel. Hi. Hi, Ricardo. It's good to see you. Thank you for the super chat. And I'll add to this. So Alex had sent a super chat. I know normally we would talk about this later when we get to the main event. But because we kind of broached the subject about why this dog collar match could have been in Toronto, Alex said, I agree. This EY Macklin beef is too long. Too many title matches for EY that he didn't really earn. Now, I will push back. The only title that has been on the line throughout this whole thing has been the International Championship. And Eric Young has only had two shots at it. And the first shot that he got, first of all, he was in the inaugural three-way, him and AJ Francis and Macklin, where he won the title at Unbreakable. And that came with the caveat that the person who wasn't pinned in that match got the Rebellion title match. So that ended up being AJ Francis ate the pinfall, Macklin won, EY got the match. At Rebellion, you had the Northern Armory get involved, so they did this match as the blow-off. So it wasn't that Eric didn't deserve the championship matches that he got. It's just that they came in quick succession due to the stories that they told. That's why it felt a certain way, and that's why I would have actually pushed this international championship dog collar match down the road, because it did feel like we did the Unbreakable, and then the next week was Rebellion, and then 2 weeks later we're back at it with another one. We could have spaced that out better.
I know if I'm Eric Young, not Eric Young, if I'm Steve Macklin, it's like, you know what? I love being right. Because I told y'all I'm messing with Northern Armory. They tried to kill me. And what did you try to do, Eric Young? Yeah, you tried to kill me twice. So.
Exactly. Well, let's move along. Laying lead defeats Rosemary. Zaya Brookside's on commentary. This all ends with Rosemary getting the brass knuckles. Zaya Lee stops her, grabs the knuckles, and then Laying Lee hits Thunderstruck, pins Rosemary. The story of this was all Zaya Brookside talking. It was a really weird night for Zaya on commentary, because either she's not good at this commentary stuff or her character is unsure of whether or not she's about to turn heel. It's a very strange presentation. It was not my favorite. She helped Laying Lee win, but she's still kind of siding with Rosemary while saying she's a bad person. It's very strange. I want your thoughts on that.
So if we talk about 50-50, this is one of the things I didn't care for, but for a different reason. I felt that there was a whole match going on in the ring, and commentary mainly focused on Zaya's Brookside's relationship between the two women in the ring. And even when Ray Watt would try to steer it, the conversation back to, hey, there's a whole thing going on in the ring. Like you said, Zaya would sound unsure, or Hannifin is trying to stir the pot. And it's like, we've talked about the match maybe five times. I've heard those girls scream in the ring, and I think there's a fine line between the balancing and, hey, I'm trying to learn to do it too. You get what I'm saying? But that was the only thing that I would say, me. But overall, too, I agree with your sentiment where I felt like Zaya kind of sounded like a deer in headlights. Like, I don't know. Maybe she's like, I don't know. She doesn't give heel, and I think that's the problem, that they want her to be a bad guy. But she is so sweet. Angel pie, white as snow. She's so pure. Even when that girl tries to sound bad, I'm like, Zaya, stop it. Show me your hand, Zaya. Do you have the beads?
You're about to pat her on the head and say, run along now.
Stop. Don't fib. Like, I know she's probably trying to get out of that, but like, she got the Cody Rhodes problem. You just ooze baby face, and I know you probably hate it.
I don't know where this, I mean, I have a feeling that this ends with Zaya turning heel, and it feels awkward because, again, the presentation right now is less sure of itself than it could be. But again, I'm willing to give it time. This is a Knockouts division that is very much in repair. And we'll talk about that as we get closer to how Masha Slamovich is being presented. We mentioned the heat check with Santana and Trick. Santana continues walking along, and he runs into Sami Callihan and John Goblikon. Do you know John Goblikon, Crest of Star?
I did not know what was happening. He looked like the gremlin from the movies Gremlins. And I was like, you know what? This is TNA. There's also someone here named Shark Boy. So I'm sure he won a title at one point.
He did not. He's not a wrestler. He is a podcast host of the show right now. He's a lead singer of a band called Necrogoblikon. Someone on the internet's going to...
Time out.
Yep. They released
Necrogoblikon?
Yeah, Necrogoblikon. They did a cover of Chop Suey by
I'm a fan. That name is fantastic. Necrogoblikon.
Yeah, they did a System of a Down cover. They've done other covers as well, but they do original music as well. Check them out, Necrogoblikon. Someone on the internet's going to get mad at me. Dave Rispoli is the person who plays John Goblikon, and he's an actor and all that, but they are very different. They're very fun. They're very popular. So apparently Sammy and John Goblikon are best friends now because they're in LA. But Santana comes up to Sammy, gives him props. Sammy thanks him, and he's very sincere, which was a different take for Sami Callihan. First class approach. And of course, Casey Navarro is the standout of this with the comedy. Mentions, you know, ogres have layers, and the line from Shrek was fantastic. AJ Francis talks down Sammy and Santana and then offers Sammy a spot in first class. Sammy declines. First class walks off. Casey's like, well, now's the point where you and I are going to sit here awkwardly and just watch, right? And he just stares at Santana, and Santana stares at him, and Casey's like, all right, fine. And he walks away. It was very funny, very silly.
I am sports entertained by Casey Navarro. And I think being able to be as fluid as you are in the ring as he is, and jokes, bro, you're going to go far. You're going to go far. Because that was jokes at the end. Also, happy belated birthday to AJ Francis. Finding out you're a Taurus makes me sick to my stomach.
You were so excited. So excited.
But also, AJ Francis versus Santana. To me, it's one of those things where it's like, we talk frequently about how people dislike AJ Francis. But, like, you can't dislike this man. You cannot hate this man. Because, once again, he's wrestling somebody in the main event scene. Therefore, he's in the main event. You can't get rid of him. You can't get rid of him. Like, I think it was either him or someone who compared him to The Miz. And he's like, y'all don't like me, but I do the same thing. Not verbatim, but exactly what The Miz does. And y'all give him praise. Like, he's one of the greatest. They're like, yo, bro. Kayfabe, you make me sick, bro. Like, you're always, Frankie Kazarian, how do you always get away with this, bro? And you always sacrifice Casey Navarro first.
Always. You know what's really sad? Finding out that AJ Francis and I are like a few years apart and that he's younger than I am. And so much more successful than me. And I'm sure as he's listening to this, and I'm sure as he's listening to this, and he says, "And handsomer," and I just yell, "Screw you, AJ Francis! Screw you!"
That's me looking at these young whippersnappers and wrestling, and they're like, "I work out 8 times a day." I'm like, "I can barely get out of bed."
I get out of bed 8 times a day. That's right. Speaking of that, the Elegances are giving Maggie a makeover. We didn't talk about it last week because the live show was stupidly late for us on the East Coast. We were not going to do a 12 a.m. post show, especially that particular episode, because I didn't have much to say. I thought the best part of the entire live show, I don't know if you caught it, was the Elegances. Chanting Botox, Botox, Botox as they left the room last week.
Honestly, I live for plastic surgery. I'm sorry. It's your body and it's interior decoration. So Botox, Botox.
That shit got me so well. I was watching it the next morning and I was like, this is the high point of this show. That's saying lots. the Great Hands defeat the Aztec Warriors. The Luchadors won somehow. Post-match is really all that matters. Ali attacks both Octagon and Laredo, basically evening out the rule that, you know, yeah, you can win, but you ain't going to leave. Trey Miguel makes a save, and all I can think of is, please, production, please, director, please, switcher, do not shoot the empty seats behind the talent. Because the shot that they picked where Ali was standing, he was behind, or he was in front of the commentary, and there were a lot of empty seats, and I just thought, oh, you made it look bad. For that, I'm sure they saw
someone doing this, like, oh, I can't wait to let you know it. I saw it.
Yeah, it was what it was. Yeah, it wasn't the strongest shot, but I think it's the only one that they could take. That was the other thing, too. This is something that a lot of wrestling companies, and anyone who's doing live events, if you don't have enough people in the arena, your camera, you shoot kind of high and down so that you get more people from the front rows in your shot and fewer from up top. And you never shoot up towards the crowd because there ain't no crowd to shoot. There are ways to kind of get around it from a production standpoint. And this was just one where I think they were stuck. I've given TNA guff about this before, and that is just crowd management, trying to put as many people on the hard cam side as humanly possible so that you show as many people as you possibly can. It's not about around the ring. It's about the side that the camera's filming at. I don't love it when they shoot the stage straight on. I don't like when any company does that. I'm glad they stopped. And now they've gone back to that traditional hard cam where the fans are there. I need them to go back to that, but also crowd manage so that you have more people where the crowd should be or where the camera will be shooting.
You know, you gave us some insightful notes, but all I heard from you is it's not about crowd limits, it's about no limits.
Yes, absolutely. Bring people up off the street. If you're going to have a wedding between PCO and Steph DeLander, you give a plus one on the seats at the pay-per-view the night
before.
Honestly,
I'd go. I'd go.
They wanted people there. And again, I've talked about this online. I've talked about this on the show. They know that their retention rate from a live show to a TV taping is about 25-30%. And I hope they realize that planning accordingly could go a long way. Now someone from TNA is going to message me and just be like, "Yeah, we know." And I'm just going to be like, "All right, well, at least you know." here's a shot of Matt Cardona in the audience, but it's just him alone in the audience.
I mean, anyway, to be fair, that makes sense because Matt Cardona thinks we're all dirty and poor. Not the way MJF do, but he don't want to sit next to us.
Kind of get it. I've been to wrestling shows. Ali defeats Trey Miguel. Trey's doing his Road Dog tribute from the night before, or I guess 2 nights earlier, as it were. Ali's on the offensive for much of the match, but Trey does get some great hope spots in. Great Hands get involved, but Wentz takes them out and then gets taken out by Ali. And Tasha Steele's distracts. And who's the referee in this match, Cresta Star?
Oh, no. It's your favorite guy.
Daniel. Tasha Steele busts out the laser pointer. Daniel Spencer gets distracted. Great Hands trip up Trey. Ali hits the spinning reverse DDT, gets the win. The match was great. I mean, Trey and Ali have it. And it was it was inevitable the way that they did the finish. The finish wasn't bad. I just like to rip on Daniel Spencer because I can, and because it's every, he is the distracted referee. So Ali gets the win. They're still keeping him strong despite the loss at Rebellion. This was good stuff. I mean, the Rascals are who they are. So good on them. This was a solid match.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it's common. But we are going to provide you with that solution via Hims.com/Fightful. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that all work from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little to 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor's visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment was sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatment to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Fightful. That's Hims.com/Fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/Fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
When you're behind the wheel of a large truck or bus, texting or other distractions are never worth the price of your life. The next time you're tempted to take your eyes off the road, think of the people waiting for you at your destination. Everyone has somewhere to be, so make it your priority to get there safely. Don't let distracted driving take your focus away from the things that matter most in life. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ali, you will forever be famous in my eyes and the wrestling god's eyes because the way that he went into this match, mad as hell. Like, I get it. I'd be mad too if I lost to Santana because I can't beat him up. I know I can't beat him up unless I super cheat. And he showed me that even when I super cheat, he can still beat me up. So I'm going to beat up the next guy. Their chemistry, and I will say that Ali's chemistry with any of those, I don't know how to describe them besides like light cruiserweight 205 kind of guys. That lucha situation will always be defying gravity, quite literally. I kind of felt bad for Trey, the way that Ali was leaning into him early match with the chops. But I mean, it was never going to be so much about the match, even with the good hands. I mean, the great hands. It was all about furthering a story. But the both matches in both cases, I got to give it up to the great hands and the Aztec. Was it the Aztec person? I'll make sure I'm saying the right thing.
Yeah, the Aztec Warriors.
Sorry, the Aztec Warriors. I got to give it up to them because that was one of the best matches I've seen the good hands have. No disrespect. Like, that was a really good match. And then the subsequent match afterwards, I think everyone was a winner. Everyone involved, except Tasha Steelz. Tasha Steelz, we got to talk. Because you was like Alicia Edwards, y'all got to start having women in y'all cabinet to deal with girls like this. Rhea Ripley was this way. Alicia Edwards is this way. Tasha Steelz is this way. The list goes on and on. I think it's about time that we make other groups with women we're not using. Come on. That's just my thought.
It's fair. It's a good thought. I do like that the two matches did run into each other. I didn't really love that then after this match, they show us Ace Austin versus Mustafa Ali from Under Siege last year.
I thought something like maybe something got cut.
Maybe they lost footage from something. I don't know. It was a choice. Wasn't my choice, but it was something that to me was a little strange because the show had been kind of had been moving. It had been rolling. And then all of a sudden, it's like, here's this old match from last year. It's like, why are we doing this? But anyway, doesn't matter. They ran the Indy Hartwell promo. I don't want to get too far into it because she makes her debut in the ring next week. She wants to be the knockout, not just a knockout. And one thing that I really am glad TNA decided not to do was overplay the I love wrestling because of TNA. Because A, Indy has done this in WWE, saying, you know, this was her dream and she wanted to make it to WWE. But also, you don't need to do a I only love wrestling because I found this alternative. You can tell the story of I love wrestling and then tell it as TNA is giving me the opportunity, or I have the opportunity now in TNA to rekindle that love of wrestling, or to show that my love of wrestling is has brought me here. I like that they didn't go into the TNA is the reason I'm here.
I have to give it up to TNA's production staff, because as of late, I want to say from from Macklin's PTSD to now, when they introduce someone, it's very well shot, very well done. It's taken with such care. I popped when she said, I used to work at Toys R Us, and I would use all my checks to buy all the TNA or the WWE or whatever paraphernalia I could. And then you see a picture of her in a lucha mask. I'm like, that's always going to get me to see someone living their dream. So I always have to give it up to the TNA production, because when they do these video packages, it's very well shot. I know you'd be giving them grief on their live production, 95%. But I will say their video package is 100%.
Yeah, exactly. And they do a good job with these packages. And they had a lot to work with when it comes to the Indy Hartwell stuff. The Hardys come out. They say they're sorry for losing. They'll do better. And they're going to recapture the tag titles. And of course, the Nemeths then come out and they this is very funny, because they challenge the Hardys to a tag title ladder match at Under Siege. And then they say, oh, wait, Jeff can't travel to Canada. As I had mentioned on the Rebellion post show and on socials, I was like, this is why they changed the titles, because they wanted to get the titles on the Under Siege card and the Canada matches. They wanted to do something with that. Santino comes out and says next week it's Jeff Hardy versus Nick Nemeth. Good match, like they're doing it. And I like that they also showed the last time those two had a singles match, and it was in WWE. And then at Under Siege, they announced that the Nemeths are going to take on Matt Hardy and a partner of his choosing for the TNA tag titles. Do you have a name? Because I can just spoil it for you, but I'd like to hear who you think it is.
Say his name, and
he's got another tag match, Cresta. He's got a main event tag match.
Well, I didn't put much thought into it then.
No, but you're doing the right accent, because that's the guy.
Trent Seven?
No, what do you... No, the other guy, the young guy.
Oh, Leon Slater, that's right. That's right.
Y'all are really...
Girl, looks like a wrestling brain, man. I don't know, my ups or my downs. And after seeing Steve Backlund get washed in his own blood from his sins, I don't remember what I did yesterday. But also, speaking of Leon Slater, that reminds me of something AJ Francis, I think, said on Twitter. I saw this on Wrestle Talk or whatever it was. It's like when he did that spot at the Ultimate X match, AJ Francis said, the first thing we did was check on him. And I grabbed him and was like, are you good? He popped up and said, I'm a Hardy boy.
Yep.
So that makes sense. Honestly, bless. Because my knees could never. My knees could never. Bless. And then to get up and say, I'm a Hardy boy. Okay, you ate that.
He's painted his face, done the whole thing. So,
getting to wrestle with your icons, I can't believe. Like, him and Zelina Vega are two people. I'm like, you're really doing your big one. I would be dead every day I go to work.
So there we go. It'll be good stuff. I think they just wanted to nip it in the bud this time when it came to Jeff not being able to get into Canada. I think it's that well-known open, it's not even a secret, it's just that well-known information that people don't think about, and they just wanted to make it part of the story, and it's part of Jeff's situation. And also, like, let's be perfectly fair, going back to Hendry and the Hardys are what moves tickets for TNA right now. Those are the people that are getting people to buy tickets. If you can tell people straight up, you know, if you're coming to the shows in Toronto, you're coming to shows in Brampton, don't expect the Hardys. You will not get Jeff, or Matt's the only Hardy that's coming. If you do that, I think that acts in good faith, because with Montreal, that was built on the back of PCO and Speedball Mike Bailey. And then the Hardys were also, Jeff wasn't even part of the company yet. Or no, he was, but they wrote him off. So they didn't really, long story short, is they had enough going on at the time for Slammiversary last year that they didn't have to play it up as much. This time they know that these are the three guys that sell the tickets. And if you're going to leave even one of them, you got to maybe say something. So I actually give TNA credit here. If that was kind of the feeling, was we're not going to screw over the fans who are wanting to meet the Hardys or see the Hardys, then I think that's the best thing they could have done.
You know, something, just being transparent was that easy. You know, maybe some people, you know, something.
Well, anyway, in our next segment, completely talking about transparency, Victoria Crawford and Robert Stone, they're backstage earlier, tears up the cards, his management will be happy. They're like, oh, dog collar match, what's this? Then sends Vic Crawford to the ring. Victoria takes on Brittany Brooks. Those who don't know, Brittany Brooks is Chris Bay's girlfriend, and they put that over on commentary, so it's no one's talking out of school here. It's good to see Brittany Brooks. A quick match, Vic Crawford gets the win, and then post-match, this is so frigging awkward. She starts to speak. I don't know what she got out of her mouth because it wasn't much. And then Masha comes out. Masha takes down Vic. Tessa comes out, takes out Masha. Then Santino comes out again, as if he wasn't already out in the last segment before with the Hardys. And the funniest thing that came out on this was him calling Victoria Crawford Victoria Crawfish. That was hilarious. And then he says it's Crawfish and Karen, sorry, Tessa versus Masha. And a partner of Masha's choosing, which, again, going back to the last segment, he was just repeating the same things, but insert different wrestler here. And then Robbie E grabs the mic and he's like, oh, I've got someone. Masha, you're going to be teaming up with Nikita Lyons. And I, at that point, dropped my head and said, oh, that's right. This shit. Cresta, were you on the internet last night?
When you ask me that, my brain just said, no, what?
There was a segment from WWE Evolve that went around.
Oh, with the...
Yeah, where she's... Nikita Lyons has a match. And there's two segments. One is she's in the ring. They're doing the introductions. And she's spamming the taunt before the match even starts. There's that. The taunt. It's not good. And the other thing is, she does a backstage segment with her and Stevie Turner, who's the GM for Evolve, and Zeta Steel walks in, and the three of them do a thing, and Nikita is just it's so forced. The acting isn't there. It's just, it's not good. And I'm not looking forward to watching this woman come out, do her entrance, and count the steps to her entrance while she's singing her theme song, and all she can think about is how she's supposed to walk instead of being a wrestler. And that stuff drives me nuts, and I talk about this frequently, and it's not just Nikita Lyons. I watch so many wrestlers just get obsessed with how many things they need to do in their entrance to hit their marks and do this and that. And again, I give credit to one singular wrestler that I think does it perfectly right now, and that's Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay's AEW entrance, it's so seamless. He knows what he's doing. He's not counting steps. He's not singing his theme song. He is just there hitting his marks. But you see some wrestlers do 5, 6, 7, 8 pose. And then I do Chicago, and then I flip my hair, and then I bite my finger. And there's just... I'm so done with this. I'm so done with it. So that's the tag match that we have to talk about next week. Cyclops better than Wolverine. Saying, Joel, why do you hate women's wrestling? People know very much that I do not. Very proud of my interview with Lil Mars that went up last week. Go check that out, by the way, here on Fightful. We did a great 45 minutes talking about her career, talking about her views on wrestling. And it's just, God damn it. This was such a bad... Everything about this was bad except for Brittany Brooks getting an opportunity on TV.
I have to tell you, who is this for? I'm asking now. Who is this for? Because, like, let me tell you that when I first started watching wrestling again, Alicia Fox, now Victoria Crawford, still has the cleanest Northern Light suplex on her tippiest of toes. So that's brisk. The match itself was fine. But this tag match with the stipulation to jump Masha to make her look like this really weak, that's never been her gig. What are we doing here? Why are... I have other things, but community guidelines prevent me from being honest here. But again, who is this for? Like, I want to know specifically who this is for. Because at the end of the day, I only see the people. You know what? I was sports entertained.
The Knockouts division deserves a lot more than that. Masha winning the title was a reset. After Jordynne Grace, it was a reset after Bound for Glory. You and I sat here and we talked about who and what would make sense. One of those people has since departed the company, and that's Savannah Evans. She can still come back and do per appearance thing, but like, she is a free agent now. I don't know what the planning is, and I don't know why. Like, the Victoria Crawford thing, I give a little bit of credit because she came in at Unbreakable. She was in the crowd. She got involved in that main event between, it was Tessa and Kazarian. I don't want people thinking they were married because Kazarian's wife is much nicer than that. I got to stop. I'm sorry. And then was Joe Hendry and Masha Slamovic. They were the other tag team. And Vic got involved in that match. She was sitting ringside. So like, they've introduced her in a way that I get it. They're tying it up. But I just don't know what this is about. I don't know why. I don't know what we're doing. This isn't the match I would have booked. Again, they're going to do it in Toronto. This is not a match that I'm personally invested in. Masha is a very strong competitor. Vic Crawford has not wrestled a singles match until really tonight in these tapings. I think she had one since then. So
I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's opportunity for TNA to pick up some talent. You know, WWE did a bunch of releases. Some of the NXT talent are done June the 1st. The main roster talent are closer to late August. So, late July after Slammiversary. So maybe it is August. Regardless, it's late enough that it's, you know, past the pay-per-view cycle. So there are people who can come in. You never know. I'm just, I can't sit and wait for too long.
I mean, I don't mind Victoria Crawford coming in, because I do think there's something to be said about beating legends or beating people who are Hall of Famers or potential Hall of Famers. I think that's a good notch to have. However, I'm strongly of the camp that, considering what Masha was doing before, I have a cat thief trying to get to my pancakes. Get out of here. I have pancakes for dinner. I'm an adult, and that's my use of free will for the day.
All right, then.
It's like, I think that Masha, there's a better way to use Masha, in my opinion. Even if it is, it's just not for me. There's no nice way to say that this is just not for me. And there are plenty of people who I think shouldn't be involved in this, and we should let two people just fight. And it's not Masha or Victoria Crawford.
Yes. Backstage, Ariana Grace approaches Robbie E. Robbie's ruining everything, she says. He's causing a rift. And then Tessa backs up Robert and does the Karen shtick to Ariana Grace. And that was that. Next week on Impact, the aforementioned tag match. Matt Cardona, Ace Austin, Mance Warner, and Elijah. The winner gets an international championship shot. And I think someone really shot themselves in the foot in this, because while they didn't say it was an Under Siege, they certainly made it feel like this winner is at Under Siege. And one of those people has already booked in a tag team main event, and that's Elijah. So I had a good laugh about that. You can always turn it on as like, whoever's doing the commentary, Hannafin can easily be like, oh, and if Elijah wins, then he gets the title shot at another, like at a later date. Like, you can clean it up. Yeah. This is one of those in the moment. You're just like, wait, but when's the title shot? When I say it is. Meanwhile, like, Mance Warner's out there, Elijah's out there, Cardona and Ace Austin are watching the match. It's just like, all right, sure. Indy Hartwell makes her TNA debut. The Rascals take on the Great Hands, and Jeff Hardy versus Nick Nemeth. So there we go. Dog collar match time. The main event for the International Championship. A bloodbath, capital B. Steve Macklin beats Eric Young. By the way, going back to the International, the four-way, yes, they did say a future shot, but most people can figure out that the future shot is for Under Siege in a couple of weeks, because that's just how the timing works. They book show to show. They don't book long term like that for a title. Anyway, doesn't matter. So before we get into this, Lazlo in the chat saying, what happened to TNA's No More Blood I heard about? So that is something real, by the way.
I thought TNA also says no more biting and people get bit and shanked. Like, that's a real thing.
So it wasn't No More Blood. They are drastically scaling back on blood in matches. It wasn't because of this match. It was more that as they're shopping around more for a television deal, as they're trying to make themselves more attractive to advertisers, the idea here is that blood can be an attractor for some advertisers, and that's totally understandable. This was more of an edict to, like, after these tapings, like, that's it. We're not doing this anymore, and this is the last of the extreme things you're going to see. And I think that actually this turned into TNA's favor, because when this report dropped, people said, oh, what about the dog collar match? And one of the coolest things or smartest things that people at TNA did was showing the blood-soaked mat and said, well, tonight you might want to watch because it might be the last time you see this for a while. They did a good job of basically saying, this is going to be a violent-ass match, so you should probably watch it because it'll be the last one for a while. My first line of my notes says, the final bloodbath of TNA. And they did it. They went right into it. Macklin was bleeding immediately. Matt Cardona's out on commentary. The second that he starts bleeding, Macklin starts bleeding, pronouns, pal, Mance Warner and Steph DeLander come out. They get their bloodlust and they come watch on the top of the stage like, oh yeah, he's on fire. He's bleeding. Let's go.
You're not wrong. So I was like, what did y'all creepy? But you know what? This makes sense for y'all too. Y'all would come out for this.
EY's new theme is perfect for a ghost, by the way. I really like it. He's doing like a weird Walking Dead version of his current theme. And I thought that was great. Cresta, I need to get the silly out of the way before we get real serious about this match. When two people don a large black collar that has a silver accent on the front and they're wearing tiny black trunks and tiny black boots, it's like the weirdest BDSM Chippendales outfit you can think of, right?
Yeah, I think my immediate thought was a stripper.
Good. I'm glad we had this chat. I'm glad we're both on the same page. Macklin is basically having to deal with Northern Armory throughout the entire match. Lope takes out the entire Northern Armory. Cardona's disgusted by all the blood, which rules. They do a nasty bump into the top rope, and that's going into the first break, which it was such an innocuous move. It was just Macklin getting launched into the first rope, and he just launches his neck onto it. There's some really good stuff here. It was just a solid, solid match. Sinner and Sanka caught in the crosshairs. EY hits a pile driver near fall, gets up. So he goes up top. Macklin yanks him down, as EY did to Macklin earlier in the match. Macklin hits KA, gets a pinfall win, and he's bleeding. The entirety of the match, Macklin is bleeding to the point where it looked like he couldn't even see anything while he was doing that final stretch of sequences to get to the finish. It was gnarly, Cresta. If this is a match that you can stomach, which clearly you can't judging by the look on your face, go watch it. Very well done stuff. Go ahead.
I was live tweeting about my displeasure. You want to see my notes just for y'all, so you know it's real. My notes just say, TNA, you pissing me off, okay? Because that's how I felt. You were pissing me off tonight, TNA. Okay. I said this offline. I said this at the top of the show, and I'll say it again. Objectively speaking, this was a phenomenal match. Man, Eric Young and Steve Macklin really did their big one. These two uncles got some chemistry. Subjectively speaking, this was gross. I was sports disgusted. I couldn't even... I'm soft. So this is just me. This is just me. Just me, Oos. Nobody else. But like, every time I would turn, the ring got browner. It looked like mud by the end of the match. Macklin was going into something. And then when I look back, Eric Young was going into something. Yo, Steve Macklin, you are a gangster. You are a G. I see blood squirt out of your head, squirt out of your head, down off your chest, out of your head, down off your torso. Bro, like, yo. Subjectively speaking, this was gross. This was, I was sports disgusted. Objectively speaking, this was everything it needed to be. You invaded my camp twice. You roofied me. I told you no. You tried to kill me with the dudes who tried to kill me. This was everything it needed to be. I'm just soft. I'm S-A-W-F-T soft. I couldn't watch that. Me, personally, I am pussoir. But this match was, this was what it needed to be. You can't, a man can't roofie you and walk away scot-free. Because, yeah, Macklin was bleeding, but Macklin was also beating out of Eric Young. So this was a great match. I just couldn't stomach it. I'm soft.
Notice how the ghost didn't bleed at all?
Yo, ectoplasm.
For those who don't know, and maybe you're watching this for the first time, we have a theory that Eric Young is a ghost, given that he is the only person to be murked on TNA and then come back from the dead, so to speak. I know other people be like, Mickey James is pushed in front of a train. I don't give a shit. They showed the death of Eric Young. They gave you the whole nine, and then he just coughed up blood and walked away.
Bro, he just came back and was like, I'm just gonna go for a bike ride. Like,
he's just gonna go for a bike ride.
I mean, we and Joel saw Cody Deeter brutally alt F4 this man. And then a couple of months later, it was tits but to flesh a little bump of Minogi. Like, bro, like, I respect it, but TNA, you gotta do better.
So I give Eric Young full marks for not bleeding for this match and just letting
all the blood on him was from Macklin.
It was all Macklin. He's not even a zombie. He's a ghost. He's done. If he was a zombie, he'd be biting people. And Eric Young is roofing people. He ain't biting people.
What a crazy thing to say in a non-wrestling context.
Some people roofie and some people bite. Check out Tasselmania. No,
that's when they get sued for defamation. Grand opening, grand closing. I love you, Tasselmania. Please. The views reflected of Joel Pearl are not that of Crest the Star.
Oh, man.
Ooh. I'm an old lady.
I really do enjoy that they had the four men who are part of that four-way next week watching and reacting. Cardona being on commentary was really good just because he's got a lot to say. He's a good speaker. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you know, Ace and Elijah just kind of being backstage and Ace being like, oh my God, this is disgusting. And Mance Warner and SDL just standing at the top of the ring, just being like, oh yeah, show me more of this shit.
They're about to make out.
Yeah, they were going to go for it. This is just, again, solid stuff. Just from the get-go, Macklin just bled. And I think that just set the tone for what this match was going to be. And like I mentioned it at the top of discussing this match, the smartest thing TNA did was let out, or at least the reporting had come out. Maybe it was leaked to somebody. Who knows? That there was an edict that blood was going to be much less featured on their programming. Which, by the way, you bring in Mance Warner and you immediately say no more blood. That's hilarious to me, because if you ever watch Mance Warner wrestle, you know that there's inevitably going to be blood. They just did a barbed wire rope match, for Christ's sake. And now they're like, oh, let's tone it down a bit. There's
Sammy Callahan works there. Raven is in y'all Hall of Fame.
Raven's Raven. Sammy's made friends with the Goblin, so everything's cool now. He's like, he mellowed out. Did you see how cool he was with Santana? He hugged that man. Hanging out with John Goblicon. Come on. He's going to
be Santana's cooler than a cucumber. Your man saw the Goblin and was like, yo, I'm glad I got these sunglasses on, because what is that?
everyone had questions about that. Even I did. I had to research the man, because I saw it this morning. TNA had posted on their socials like this weird John Goblicon and Sammy Callahan coming out of a bathroom stall, different bathroom stalls next to each other. And one was wearing one guy's shirt and the other one was wearing the other guy's shirt. And they're like, oh, we're just becoming best friends, and they hugged, and it was a whole thing. And I was like, it's way too early for this shit. What are we watching here? But anyway, John Goblicon has kind of mellowed everyone out. He's the
honestly, new he's the best.
He should be a long-term character. He won't be, because they can't afford him, but they should do something with him more.
That would be, there's a way, in my opinion, to do something like that, but you have to toe the line. And this guy, John Goblicon, gives me that he could, but this is TNA. TNA literally jumped the shark.
jump the goblin?
Oof. I can't you imagine Mr. Goblin? I can. Trust the system. And he's like, well, actually, I've run the numbers.
John Goblicon's going to win the X Division championship.
Honestly.
John Goblicon is Matt Hardy's tag team partner at Under Siege.
This is TNA. It's not about weight limits. It's about no limits.
And no limits as a goblin on your show.
Honestly, his pockets are full of gold, okay? Because you know they're good for taking it.
John Goblicon versus Steve Maclin for the TNA International Championship.
And once John Goblicon wins, it'll be him versus Shark Boy. It'll win and take off.
Why does Maclin have to face the ghosts, the goblins? What's next?
At this point, he should just join the Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine.
You missed an entire episode of In the Weeds where Jeremy and I played. We put together the Mystery Machine with Detective Danhausen, and Detective Danhausen was trying to find where's my spot.
Oh my god.
So you've missed out on a lot if you're not watching In the Weeds, the best morning show you never needed, talking about wrestling. By the way, tomorrow morning, myself and SP3, we're live. Jeremy's off for Friday. He's going to go to a metal show and try to survive. But SP3 and I are going to be live. We're going to be talking about TNA. We're going to talk about AEW Collision, talk about a whole slew of other stuff. Plenty going on. Let's wrap this up. Cresta, what you got going on?
Guys, you are fantastic. Thank you so much for tuning in to this show, or whether you tune into the AEW Collision post show. You're fantastic. My name is Cresta Starr. You can find me on all forms of social media, CRESTASTARR, except for over on X, where, or Twitter, where it's Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion, because I am the best. I'm on Blue Sky, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And I hope to see you soon. You guys are fantastic. Hope you find $20 on the floor and your butt looks nice. Joel, where can the people find you?
Well, after my butt gets complimented, it can find me on In the Weeds, like I said, 10 a.m. every morning over on Fightful Overbooked. Crest and I are here every Thursday. Well, most Thursdays when we feel like it. No, we come to work. Sean was like, you want to do the show this week? I was like, yes, because we missed it last week because there was no way in hell we were doing a midnight show. This one was better. We're back, baby. Plenty to talk about as we get closer to Under Siege. But we're here Thursdays after TNA. And of course, just go find us on the socials. You know who I am. You know who she is. We'll see you in the next one. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. We'll see you in the next one. That's right. Cheers.
Bye.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.